This is Now, Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And on the program today, we're going to be talking about some theater and some band music, particular to the communities of Bloomington Normal and Decatur. And first up will be Kimberly Harris, who is Artistic Director of Theater School. That's Theaters Cool in Bloomington Normal. They are putting on a play by Ms. Harris called Faith. It's described as a darkly comic play, and it is actually underway. It started on the 21st and had a show on the 22nd. There are performances this weekend, tomorrow and Saturday, and then next Friday and Saturday, the 4th and 5th of June, and we'll give you information on how to get tickets to that. And then I'll talk with Gary Shaw, who is a professor of trombone and a director of bands at Millikan University in Decatur, and he's also director of the Decatur Area Youth Band, and we'll be hearing about how students can, it's called Greater Decatur Youth Band, and we'll be hearing about that program and how students can sign up for that. The deadline is June 1st, so if you're interested, that'll be the second portion of the show, so stick around and find out how you can get involved in that. It's all on Live and Local today, and we'll throw in some music as well on FM 90.9. That was the title music from the film called Paris, Texas, music by and performed by Rye Cooter here on Live and Local. My guest for this portion of Live and Local is Kimberly Harris. She is your title Artistic Director of Theater School, Theater's
yes.
Cool.
Yes.
And I assume that's a little bit of a pun, Theater's Cool, Theater School.
Very good.
Isn't that clever?
Thank you.
Did you come up with that one?
Yes, I did. you'd be surprised how many people ask me which one it is. And it becomes very difficult to explain. So I'm glad that you just went right into it's a pun.
It's both, yeah.
Yes.
well, tell how long how you've been around and what are you all about?
I'm an actor. I'm a professional actor, and I was working out of New York, and I'm now working out of Chicago and, in New York and LA, depending on where the work is. But I went to the Actors Studio in New York. I got my MFA there. Have you seen Inside the Actors Studio on Bravo with James Lipton?
Yes.
That was my school. And I had been professionally acting in Chicago before New York as well, but I really was interested in this technique and went out there and ended up staying for 7 years and, getting my MFA and really enjoying the Actors Studio and working out there. So I wanted to bring my son home. I'm from here, and I wanted him to, have that experience of living here. It's just a great place to raise kids. But it was a big sacrifice for me artistically. So basically, I just started teaching the method for survival, just to be around the art that I love so much, and it kind of snowballed into a lot of interest happily, and we teach four classes for children through adults, and this was 4 years ago, and then 2 years ago, I opened the studio space with an actual theater, lights and sound and green room and all of that in downtown Bloomington. And the rest is history. That's where we are right now.
So what is unusual or unique about the Actors Studio?
Well, it was started, what was extraordinary to me about it is is that, you know, like in my master class, Juliette Binoche was in my class, Tatum O'Neill was in my class, Sean Combs was in my class. You know, you had a lot of working actors that you don't necessarily know their names, but like me, they work and you know. But you also have celebrities because it's a way to engage yourself in building your character that makes your life more interesting artistically. The Actors Studio was created really as a place for actors to go and fail. And, you know, in the 50s, Lee Strasberg brought it. Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, people that had these big careers, but they were in these big Hollywood movies and felt like they couldn't take any risks or really try things because, you know, there were so many dollars attached to them. So they'd go to the Actors Studio and try different things with their characters and felt like they were doing better acting, and it was created as a place to fail. And in a nutshell, it's really a technique that helps you build characters from the inside out. So rather than, you know, sort of faking it or pretending, you know, you know when you're watching a performance and the character really moves you, you know, you really feel like, wow, that's real. And you know when you're watching a performance and you're like, that actor's just showing off or they're not really engaged in the story.
They're just acting.
What?
Or they're just acting.
Or they're just acting, right.
It's obvious they're acting out a part.
Right.
Your website lists, you know, some of the more famous people to use the technique that I guess Strasberg espoused. And looking at this list, all of whom are quite famous, De Niro, Pacino, Streep, Depp, and Binoche, Juliette Binoche, these are all people that, when I think of them in films, yeah, you see that it is that person playing that character, but other than that, they suspend belief.
Absolutely. You know. And it's because it's an art form. I mean, there's this misconception about acting that, you know, if you're cute or you're funny, you can do it. And, you know, even some directors think that, you know, and it's just like sports or music or painting. It is really an art form, and it's a lot of work, you know. I mean, I'm working with a model in Springfield right now, and she got cast as a lead in a movie, and you know, every hour she stops and goes, I had no idea. I had no idea acting was this hard. Because, you know, if you do it right, like you're saying, I mean, it's really fun, too. It's great. You're playing. But, you know, if you're doing it right, you're really investing in being believable.
So what is I mentioned the pun up front of theater school. It's spelled, by the way, since listeners can't see this, T-H-E-A-T-R-E-S, capital C-O-O-L, all one word. What did you mean by the two different things? Why theater's cool in particular? And then, of course, you did say you have a school, so that's maybe more obvious.
Right. Well, when I was in high school in Bloomington Normal, we had nothing to do but get in trouble. I mean, there was a mall, and there was just really nothing to engage us. And, you know, my son is also really interested in acting, so I created these classes. I sort of adapted some method acting techniques, and I created some method acting techniques, or techniques based on the philosophy of the method, to adapt it to children and teenagers. Because, you know, what ends up happening is, I mean, it really helps them build their self-esteem, their self-confidence, and it's a healthy outlet, I think, for, you know, all that's going on for teenagers, especially, you know, just psychologically, emotionally in high school. High school's treacherous, you know, it can be, and the teens that come, they really enjoy acting, you know, from the inside out, and so the theater's is cool part is kind of like, you know, this is also an option for you to be creative. It doesn't mean you have to be an actor, or, you know, you can go off and be a teacher or a fireman or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever you want to be, but it's good to have, you know, a creative outlet. It will help you in any area of your life. It's cool.
So what's the range of folks who are in, who come to the school?
We have 3 to 7 year olds, 8 to 12 year olds, 13 to 17 year olds, and then the adult class, which is 18 to,
89. Not to offend anybody who's in their 90s, and I'm sure they could go to the class too.
Absolutely.
And you have done occasional productions, or how often do they actually do performances? We're going to talk about the one that is currently happening, but how often do you have things that they're able to perform?
The children and the part of my school is that you perform every 10 weeks. So you learn, and then you put it out there in front of an audience. And then you go back and you learn, you put it out there in front of an audience. Because you can be, you know, brilliant in class, and then, you know, the method is also a way of combating self-consciousness. So the second you get a camera in your face or an audience in front of you, sometimes you can forget what you're doing, and that's obviously not allowed. You have to be able to continue. So we perform every 10 weeks. The children write their own plays in class with me, and then we perform them every 10 weeks. And the teens and the adults perform scenes and monologues from theater and movies every 10 weeks. And then for the last 2 years, I have produced a full-on production for my adult workshop so that they could also experience what it would feel like to be in a professional non-equity show.
And the show that is underway now, it started on the 21st and continues through the 5th.
Yes.
Called Faith. It's a play by yourself.
Yes.
With contributions by others. Where does this fit into all of that?
Well, I've had a lot of plays that I've written, produced in New York, off and off Broadway, and I've been working on Faith on and off for 10 years, and I really wanted to workshop it. It had a reading at the Broadway Theater Institute. And I wanted to workshop it one last time before sort of, you know, bringing it into one of the cities or submitting it to be in one of the cities. And we're looking for an ensemble piece that the actors could really sink their teeth into and try out their method acting techniques. So, you know, my assistant suggested Faith, and it lent itself well. So we're doing it.
Is this involve the kids, or is this for the adults, or
no,
both?
It's an adult, no children. It's adult themed, and it's for adults and stars the adults.
And the title suggests all kinds of different things directions that it could go. But I guess there is a central character of that name, right?
Yes, the lead character played in our workshop by Erica Lacage is also named Faith, and yes, she is basically going on a journey to find faith in life and herself through some rocky roads.
And it is supposed to be comic.
It's a dark comedy. Yes, it's a dark comedy. It deals with very serious themes. I mean, it deals with addiction, recovery, dysfunctional dynamics with one's family, suicide, and, you know, it's... So it is a dark, I made it a dark comedy because it is touching on so many very serious subjects.
Yeah, suicide is not one of those things you typically laugh at.
Right, and I wouldn't say that's a funny part of the play, but leading up to it, we hope to make you laugh.
Somewhere along the road. The the poster that I'm looking at has a very interesting graphic on it. There's a butterfly with eyes, apparently female eyes, coming out of it. Is that anything you can talk about as to how that relates to the show?
Well, yes. I've always had a play I did called Bumping Umbrellas, which ran for a year in New York, had a butterfly theme too. I just always had an interest in butterflies. They have a really short lifespan, and they're just really colorful and vibrant when they're alive, and it seemed like a good symbol for Faith. And my Faith is a singer-songwriter, and in the play, and the first scene of the play, she's singing, she's brilliant, she's amazing, and just passes out cold at the end. And her parents come, grab her, rescue her, and they say they rescue her. She says they kidnap her, and then the play goes, bring her back to normal from Chicago, and the play goes on.
And there's a pun there, I assume.
Yes, yes. Very much so. My composer, Katie McLean, who she's a wonderful artist and singer-songwriter, but she's also Dixie on All My Children and Rosanna on As the World Turns. She's a big soap star as well. She played Faith for me at the Broadway Theater Institute, and we decided to add songs for Faith to actually sing in the show, and she's written them. And when we were discussing graphics, she was actually dating one of New York's top graphic designers. So I just basically explained to him exactly what I wanted, and he was able to create it. And that's how that graphic came to life.
So it's called Working Your Connections.
Yes, yes, Working My Friends.
Yeah, and how has your lead actor managed to, I guess, exercise the method, so to speak, to become Faith?
Yeah, I mean, what's really ironic about this whole process is that my lead actor, I auditioned and cast just for this role. Everyone else in the cast has been working on their characters for several months and developing them and creating them through the method technique. But for Faith, I needed a real singer. You know, I really needed someone who could it's very important that she's talented. And I auditioned several people, and this girl just blew me away. So a lot of her instincts have been natural. I mean, I've directed her along the way, but she's one of the newest members of the cast. And, so, yeah, she's definitely feeling, you know, the standards of method acting. She's doing a great job.
And the show is, let's see, what do we have? Today's the 27th, so we have tomorrow and Saturday.
Yes. At 8.
8 o'clock, and then the 4th and the 5th.
Yes.
Which is what, Friday and Saturday.
Yes.
Also at 8 o'clock?
Yep.
And where are the performances?
They are at Theater School, which is 403 North Main Street in downtown Bloomington. And, you know, we have people coming in from Chicago, Springfield, Peoria, Champaign. I mean, it's a pretty central location. To drive to, and you can get tickets right online, just on the website www.theaterschool.com, and you can just go there and buy your ticket.
And again, that spelling is theater, theatrescool, no
yes.
H.
So it's theater, the British spelling, and then
right.
Cool. Right?
Yeah, it seems like everybody does the British spelling anymore.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I don't know why. It just looks better or something. I don't know.
It irritates me, but that's just me. I always want to spell it the American way, but nobody seems to. Sometimes the building will be spelled E-R, but the company will be called R-E, spelled R-E. I don't know why that might be.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, and maybe we'll get to meet in person at some point, and keep us in abreast of some of the other performances you have, and maybe we can have some folks come over and do some scenes some point. Do you ever do, this one has music in it, but do you ever do musicals, or it's usually just straight plays?
No, I mean, I really do more edgy, contemporary stuff. And my I have a black box space, so it's a very intimate theater. But you know, who knows what the future holds? But this is a play with music.
Okay, it's called Faith, a play by Kimberly Harris, with lyrics and music by Katie McLean. Kimberly Harris is artistic director and owner of theaterschool.com, based in Bloomington Normal. Are you specifically in which town?
Theater School's in Bloomington.
In Bloomington.
Yes.
And the show runs through June 5th. Theaterschool.com.
Yes.
Thanks, I'm going to keep saying, trying to say Catherine. Thanks, Kimberly, for joining
us. Don't call me that.
On the show. I'm very sorry. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I hope you can come see the show. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
There was a 2001 composition by Moshe Denberg called The Winged Horses of Heaven, performed by the Orchid Ensemble, which participated in the New Music Festival at Illinois State University earlier this year and were subjects of an interview on this very program, Live and Local, here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up, we have a conversation with Gary Shaw, director of the Greater Decatur Youth Band. So stick around. Programs on WYLL are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy Krannert Uncorked, a weekly free wine tasting almost every Thursday at 5 p.m. in the lobby. More information can be found at krannertcenter.com.
In the early 1950s, the name of German composer Karl Orff did not exist in American record catalogs. Then came Carmina Burana and The Dam Broke. One would hardly think that a modern setting of ribald poems by medieval monks in Latin about wine, women, and spring would become a bestseller. On Classics of the Phonograph, Sadly at 10, I will trace the trajectory of Carmina Burana to phonographic fame.
Here's some music by Ray Vaughan Williams. This is a march called Sea Songs, played by the Central Band of the Royal Air Force, conducted by Wing Commander Eric Banks. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Dr. Gary Shaw. He is director of bands at Millikan University, and he is also the director of the Greater Decatur Youth Band, which runs in the summers. And pleased to have you on the show again, Gary.
Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to know how your final concert with the Decatur Youth Symphony went.
Oh, it was very good. The group really played well. We had an excellent audience, which we normally do, lots of parents and grandparents and family and friends. I guess in particular the four student soloists really played well, and so it was a great ending for me. Since it was my last concert, I feel like I went out on a really very positive note, so I have very good feelings about my whole experience with the youth orchestra.
Well, I remembered from our conversation previously that about that concert that it was going to be your last. You were retiring from there, and so I thought I'd just check how it all went. I forget who I was talking with recently who had mentioned that they were working with you. The fellow who is doing the new Urbana Pops Orchestra.
Okay, sure. Dan Sutherland.
Yeah.
Yes.
He says he works with you.
Right. He's a senior at Millikan, music education major.
And will he be doing anything with his summer youth band with you, or is this your solo gig?
He is not. There are two local band directors that are recent graduates of from Millikan. Brianna Bjerke is the assistant band director at Mount Zion High School, and Peter Manzi is the band director at Central A&M in Milwaukee, Illinois. And they have both been out of Millikan for two full years teaching, and they'll be helping with summer band this summer.
So why don't you tell us about this program? How long has it been going on?
Well, this is our 16th year, and the we have a slogan or a logo, which is "Why practice at home when you can jam in the park?" Because we play our concerts in the parks, and that logo actually was invented by web design class at Millikan 16 years ago, just a project. I was talking to an English faculty member, and he had this web design class, and he thought it would be a great idea. He had them in several groups, and I told them what the band program was going to be, and they came up with a logo. And my first reaction was, oh, no, that's not what we're going to do. We're not going to jam in the park. We're organized. You know, this is a band. This isn't jazz. And some friends and family members said that was a great logo. That would be exciting to kids, you know, and that my idea of, you know, sit in one place and play boring concert band music wasn't really going to go. So against my better judgment, I accepted their suggestion, and it's been a real hit.
See, my first thought was, do we really want to encourage kids not to practice?
Right. Well, that's true, too. But, you know, it's just kind of the hook. And then once we get them in, at the first rehearsal, I generally say, now that you're signed up and your parents have brought you here, we lied to you, and you have to practice. But... we have a nice T-shirt with our logo and all of that, and the flyers say, you know, why practice at home? And it really has been popular, so don't ask me for good marketing ideas, I guess that's the...
And then how many of the kids run screaming when you tell them that
you know,
that's just a slogan?
They're at that age in middle school and elementary school, their parents still have enough control over them. If it was high school age, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, probably so. So what is there an age range?
Yes, we have two bands. And the first band are students who have played for at least 1 year in school and 2 years. So it's usually going into sixth grade and going into seventh grade in the upcoming fall. And then the older group are students, you know, in eighth grade through 10th grade. And we meet two mornings a week at Millikan, Mondays and Wednesdays. And the young band comes at 9, and then the older band comes at 10:30. So when we play concerts, each band plays a short set. And then after we perform, the Decatur Young Park Singers and the Decatur Park Singers perform. So it's really a full evening, and you know, there are parents and friends from all of these groups that come and listen. And the neighborhood parks contribute baked goods and sell ice cream. And so it's become a nice event in Decatur, usually one a week at 6 p.m.
One concert a week?
Yes.
So they've got to put together a concert on just a couple rehearsals.
Yes, yes, we do. We usually have, actually with the band, it's usually five rehearsals, and they're playing, you know, four short pieces. And then once we get that first concert done, we repeat some of the music, and we try to add a new piece, you know, every week or so if we can. So we push them along pretty quickly.
And I assume then you try to make improvements on the pieces as
sure.
you go from week
right,
to week.
Right, right. But that's also one of the successful things, is that we push them and they play more music and they perform more frequently, whereas during the regular year at school, you know, they're playing, you know, X number of pieces for a long time, and then they have one concert, and then they do the same thing, you know, the second semester. So this is a little bit different, but most, you know, most of the students are from schools throughout the area, and they're the most interested and more motivated kids, so I think it works well, that idea.
And do they play at a different park for each
right,
concert?
Right, they play at a different park in Decatur. Each concert. concert. So it's, although the parents are there, it is somewhat of a different audience. But one year I did say to one parent, yeah, I'm sorry, you have to listen to, you know, Pirates Parade or something like that four times this summer. And the parent said, you know, when you're a parent, you really don't care what they play. You just like hearing them perform. So
sure.
Don't worry about that.
Are there, as far as you know, are there other groupies that follow the band around from park to park?
Oh, there are. There are some regulars because they just like seeing young people perform, I think. And but usually, since it's in a different neighborhood, you know, we do have a different group each time. And we have, over the years, come to playing at the same parks around the same time in the summer each year. So that works, and we even go out of town to Forsyth Park because we have students from the county school, so we spread it out pretty well.
And where is Forsyth Park?
It is just north of Decatur on Route 51, and it's one of the Macon County school districts.
What's the process of for kids to get into the band?
Well, there are all we send out flyers to all of the band directors throughout the county, and then we have a couple of sponsors. Thompson Kramer Music Company in Decatur provides financial sponsorship each year, so they have flyers available. The Decatur Park District has flyers available, and also we have another sponsor, Soy Capital Bank. Indicator each year has made a nice donation to help support the program. And we also have scholarships available. So if you would call the Decatur Park District at 217-422-5911 and inquire about financial assistance, we have some donors who have given money specifically for students who have need.
Is there information on those scholarships on the website as well?
Yes, there is.
And that's...
I'm not sure of the web address, but if you just Google Decatur Park District, you'd find it.
Yeah, it's decatur-parks.org.
Right.
Decatur-parks.org. I'm looking at the page that also includes the various other summer programs. And yours runs from beginning of June to the beginning of August.
Right. We end with the Decatur Celebration Parade, and we combine both bands, and we don't do anything fancy. We just march in the parade to a nice drum cadence, and then one selected march each time. But that really is a great ending and a lot of fun because the Decatur Celebration is really well attended, and when the weather is great, you know, the streets are lined with people on both sides, you know, and they really enjoy hearing a local band play.
For the music that you choose, do you try to challenge the students beyond, say, what they might do in school, or is just the fact that they're preparing music in a shorter period of time challenge enough?
No, we do try to challenge them. Actually, we have a good routine of doing a short warm-up and a scale sheet so that we're trying to, especially with the elementary students, we're trying to push them and learn a new scale each week. And then I think we are trying to push them along with music that's challenging to them. And with three of us there, you know, one of us is conducting and the other two are playing an instrument and moving around the band during rehearsal and sitting beside different kids and helping them out if there's a fingering problem or a rhythm problem. Occasionally one of us, I'll take the trombones outside and help them with a part, make sure they've got their slides in the right position and they understand the rhythm. So no, we are not just trying to, you know, put together some easy music so we can play. We're trying to add to what they've already learned in school.
Do you have any trouble getting a full band, full sections?
We, of course, have difficulty in some instruments. There aren't enough bassoon players. Oboe seems pretty good. Some years we've had four or five oboists, even in a middle school band, which is a beautiful sound, you can imagine. But bassoon is a problem. There aren't enough horn players. you know, the instruments that there's always plenty of are trumpet, saxophone, percussion, and it can vary with trombones. There's never enough tuba players also. So if there are any parents out there, encourage your students to play those instruments, bassoon and tuba, French horn.
Flute and clarinet you're okay for usually?
Usually, yeah, yeah. But the saxophones is usually the one. There are, you know, a lot more saxophones than we would need. And occasionally the band directors will encourage some of their kids, if it's a saxophone player in middle school and they want the saxophone player to learn the flute or the clarinet, they'll encourage them to sign up and play in the younger band and learn a new instrument. And we've had students who wanted to switch from the euphonium to the tuba come and do that during the summer, and that's been successful. You know, and that usually comes from the band director who's trying to improve the instrumentation of their group.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great way for the older kids to learn something new. And
right.
Do they have to audition to get in, or do they just sign up and show up?
As long as they've played, the form asks for the signature of their band director, and as long as they have that signature, everyone is welcome to participate. And then we do an audition just so that we can hear how they play and what they might need to work on. And occasionally we have a sixth grader who plays so well that we'll move them up to the advanced band. That happens sometimes. One area that we really do work, Peter Manzi is a percussionist, so he spends some extra time with the percussion students. We want to make sure if they don't have a keyboard background that we really encourage that and get them started even during the summer on playing the bells and learning how to tune the timpani and play the timpani so that they're not just playing snare drum. And we make sure that they move around in the section. So anyway, that's one area that we spend a lot of time to make sure we don't have 10 kids that just want to play snare drum all the time.
So you're encouraging well-rounded percussionists.
Absolutely.
That's something that we seem to have a shortage of over here in Champaign, mm-hmm. Urbana, at least for the youth orchestra, perennially.
Right. Yeah, so we have to do some special work with the young percussionists, and a lot of times one of us will be devoting our time, you know, specifically to percussion and taking them outside and working with them and then bringing them back so that they can play with the band. Because sometimes the percussionists don't get as much attention, especially in younger bands.
Is there a deadline for them to sign up for this?
June 1st is the deadline, but there's still plenty of time to sign up. And they can call the Park District if they get a flyer. My email address is also on the flyer, and welcome to contact me if they have any questions.
And there's also a phone number there and a website. And again, the website for the Decatur Park District, where you'll find information about the Greater Decatur Youth Band, is at decatur-parks.org. And I've been talking with Gary Shaw, who is the director of the youth band and also director of bands at Millikan University. So your kids will be in good hands for the summer if they want to go out for this program.
Great.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
It's great to hear about it.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And let's wrap this up with another performance by the Central Band of the Royal Air Force. This is, appropriately enough, a children's march over the hills and far away. It's Percy Grainger's setting here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. setting by Percy Grainger of the Children's March Over the Hills and Far Away with the Central Band of the Royal Air Force, conducted by Eric Banks on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Won't be having a show tomorrow. I'm going to take a long weekend. I'll be back with you on Tuesday with what I hope will be some interesting guests, which I'm actually working to finalize right now. We have support for today's show from the Radio Maria in downtown Champaign, along with their dinner menu. Tapas served every evening until 2 a.m. Lunch is also served on Friday from 10:30 to 2:30, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Information on menus and wine and beer lists are at RadioMariaRestaurant.com.
Why have just a good morning when you can have a classic morning? This is Vic DiGeronimo. I'm your host on Classic Mornings, Monday through Friday from 9 until noon here on FM 90.9. It's classical music, little stories about the music, birthday celebrations, and much more. Classic Mornings, weekdays from 9 till noon, following Morning Edition here on FM 90.9.
And here's a look at some of the events in our listening area. I'm going to run them through the weekend since, as I said, I won't be here doing the show tomorrow. Ash Devine, who is singer, songwriter, and clown, who was on our show earlier this week, is going to be in the area twice this week. Tonight at Aroma Cafe in downtown Champaign, and then on Sunday at Strawberry Fields in Urbana. That's at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Road Song plays as an acoustic duo. They'll be at El Toro Bravo in Champaign tonight at 6 o'clock. Sam Ginger, a jazz pianist, is at V. Picasso downtown Urbana tonight at 6:30. Strings Attached are performing at The Landing at Kickapoo State Park in Oakwood. That's tomorrow night at 5:30. The Boneyard Jazz Quartet will play at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana tomorrow night at 5. The Ruthless Goats are at the Iron Post Saturday evening at 6 o'clock. Gene Trimble's Combo will be playing for a tea dance at the Douglas County Museum in Tuscola Saturday from 6 to 9 in the evening. Horton the Elephant is a musical being put on by something called the Soul Miners. And we'll actually have their director with us next week before their next weekend performances. But this week it's at this weekend at First Mennonite Church in Urbana, Saturday at 7 o'clock, and then a performance at the Baha'i Center in Urbana, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Cooking with the Corral features the Young Park Singers at Fairview Park Pavilion in Decatur Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, and then again on Sunday evening at same location, Decatur, 6 o'clock. That's what I have on the calendar. There's many more things going on in our area, certainly, and I do encourage and request that you consider sending us events you know about or involved in to this email address, willcalendar, that's W-I-L-L calendar, at illinois.edu. And we'll try to get them on our calendar. And if it's, it seems appropriate, we'll try to get a guest involved on our show. So please do send those along. We're rather dependent. I'm heavily dependent on other people to let me know in particular what's going on outside of Champaign-Urbana, simply because I'm in Urbana and know about these events most easily, but I want to know what else is going on in our listening area. We have support today for our programs from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium to 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. This Saturday's wine tasting features a variety of wines with some Italian, Australian, and wines from Oregon. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. We have the Writer's Almanac coming up at a minute past 1, and then classical music for you at 1:06. Our forecast for the afternoon calls for intervals of clouds and sunshine with a chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms and a high of 84. Then tonight, a chance of a shower or thunderstorm during the early evening hours, then clearing and cooler. Our low around 55 tonight. Tomorrow's high about 83 under a mostly sunny sky, and it will be thankfully less humid. Saturday, we expect to be sunny with a high of 85. And we're at 84 right now. It is 1 o'clock. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us on Live and Local. This is a duo called Tapestry, Celtic harp and guitar, and a performance of a tune called Wild Mountain Time.